Grace,
mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are the words written by John Mark to begin the testimony concerning Jesus, who is the Christ. Gospel. It's from the old English words, two of them, and the roots are good and spell. Good means, as you expect, good. And spell means, in the old English, a tale or a talk. So it's a good tale. It's good talk is the English translation of the Greek euangelion, which means good news. These words are good news, and they are good news because the subject of the testimony is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Testimony that witnesses the events, and the events demonstrate Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God. It is very interesting to find in the introduction of Mark that Mark places the prophecies from the great prophet Isaiah and the prophet Malachi right next. And these prophecies are about another, not the Christ, but about another. This another is the one to prepare the way for the Lord. This another is to make ready for the one to come. The getting ready is about making noise, getting people's attention, getting them prepared. I vividly remember, and I probably told this story before, but it just vividly remember being in Ford's Theater for a musical production. It was my first Broadway musical. My older brother Alan, my cousin Debbie, and myself were dropped off by my parents at Ford's Theater in downtown Washington, D.C. We went in and we found our seats. Looking around, I was just wide-eyed. Being in the theater where President Lincoln was shot, I paid attention to the balcony where the balcony was draped with an American flag. And as a 10-year-old, I was just mesmerized by the moment. I was looking all around, soaking it in. Then the lights began to dim and the place goes dark. And while it was still dark, a ram's horn come from behind me, off to my left. A ram's horn just fills the space with a sound. I spin in my seat to find where the source of the sound was located. Another horn, the same horn, sounds again, and it just starts to send shivers, how that ram's horn just resonates through the hall. Shivers to my soul as those words, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," with that big just starts to fill the place. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I mean, as a 10-year-old, it was just glued me. Prepare. Get ready. John the Baptist, sent by God to get things ready for the Son, to set the stage for the coming one and the good news that would be told through the century. What is fantastically interesting is how John the Baptizer prepares the people. Preaching repentance and offering the baptism of repentance. That is fascinating. The way the good news was prepared to be heard was calling people to repentance. People flocked to John in the wilderness. They went there to confess their sins from all around. The people gathered at the River Jordan. The words, John said, the words were filled with power to penetrate into people's consciences and souls. Interspersed in those words, calling people to repent, were words of someone else coming. Yes, someone else is coming. One who is mightier. So mighty is the one that's coming that John, whom the people were gathering around from all over Judea and Jerusalem, that John that the people were gathering to see was not even fit to untie the sandals. Dirty, smelly, dusty, crud-covered sandals. John was not even fit to touch them. John was preaching for people to change their minds, change their lives, repent. And at the same time, John was pointing the people in preparation to look for the one who is to come. Now take a moment and really look at the order of this. Consider why the living God deliberately ordered it this way. Why was John called? Why was John sent? To call and preach repentance in preparation for the one to come. Why did God deliberately order the things that way? That John was calling people to repentance in preparation for the Son of God's coming. There must be something very important for us to learn here. Can it be that repentance is an important part of the good news? Picture in your mind a plot of land that needs to be prepared for seeds. The dirt is hard. A harrow pulled across the ground doesn't even make a scratch in the soil. The soil is so solid. How would the seed fare falling on such hard ground? The ground needs to be broken. It needs to be turned over. It needs to be softened. It needs to be prepared for the seed, making growth possible. Preaching of repentance is to prepare the soul to hear the seed of the good news. John was sent by God to prepare hearts for the coming Son. Prepare their ears to hear the word of Jesus. Prepare their hearts to receive the message. And the living God sent a man in camel's hair eating locust and wild honey. Not exactly a super dashing PR man. More like a bum and a madman in the wilderness. Perhaps all this to keep the message more important than the messenger. John held an authority that came from the living God. John's authority made him a unique herald, proclaiming this message of baptism of repentance, a purification rite that by confessing sins and with water poured over them, they are bound to a spiritual reformation in their lives. It's opening their eyes, opening their hearts to be aware. The gospel testimony of Matthew includes John preaching, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And along with those words in Matthew was a warning concerning the coming wrath and the winnowing fork of judgment. But it's all in preparation to hear forgiveness of sins. that release from bondage, that release from imprisonment, deliverance, pardon. It's letting go. Forgiveness is letting go as if they never have been committed. That is an amazing forgiveness. It's a remission of the penalty. Putting this together, John was preaching that they needed to be a different people. The way they were in heart and in life needed to be different. John was preaching to sinners to return to their God. Let us return to that question I asked earlier. Can it be that repentance is an important part of the good news? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus preaching. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I start at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sects complained to his disciples. "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We go to Mark chapter 6 now. Jesus calls the 12 together and sends them out two by two. He gives them authority over evil spirits, and he sends them out with these instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave as testimony against them." They, that is the disciples, went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Repentance. Today's culture no longer grieves over sins. Instead, today's culture creates new euphemisms, creates new moralities, creates new definitions that have replaced the understanding of the times past. These new euphemisms, moralities, definitions have supplanted the Word of God. And as a result, the call to repentance falls on deaf ears. Repent! What do you mean I need to repent? Repent! Come on, that's so old-fashioned. Repent! Get with the current understanding of life. Repent! Oh, that's just your opinion. Repent! Why? I like the way I am. Repent! God made me this way. Repent! I have no need to repent. With such understanding and attitudes in people's hearts, how can they hear the good news? With no concept or understanding that sin is really the source of humanity's problems. They will look for any solution other than a Savior and Redeemer. The good news for them becomes one opinion from a cacophony of opinions. But for those who hear, for those who take it to heart, the good news is forgiveness. The good news is redemption. The good news is life. That is eternal life. Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is the message that encapsulates God's activity to save and redeem on behalf of humanity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, really is a great summary of this good news. I begin at verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And he goes on and lists all the more people that saw this Christ Jesus alive. The gospel saves. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And we must not forget, Christ will come again with the glory of the heaven. Come. Come to Christ Jesus. Come as you are with all your ugliness and filth. For it does not matter. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter how vile you feel or how appalling and unpleasant your past actions have been. Come to Christ who died for you. Come to Christ on his terms. No preconditions on your part. Come confessing as a sinner, confessing there is absolutely nothing you can do to change from being a sinner, and come to his grace and mercy. There is nothing you can do to earn the grace or mercy of Christ. It's come through repentance and opening your life saying, I need a Redeemer. I need a Savior. And let the mercy and grace of God do its work. Redeem you from all your past sin. Take away all the shame you may have for the things you have done, and really and truly sets you free. That's the good news. You really and truly are forgiven. You really and truly are redeemed. You really and truly have new life in this Christ. Because Christ was crucified. He was buried. And he rose. That is good news. And he is going to come again. And that is good news. So this Advent Sunday, place all your hope in Christ Jesus. No hope in your own abilities or strengths. Just cast it all before Him, upon His mercy and His grace, and you will be forgiven. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose. And He will come again one day to take you to be with Him forever. That is good news. So let me tell you some good news today. In Christ, you truly are forgiven. In Christ, you truly are redeemed. In Christ, you are saved. And in Christ, you will live forever in heaven with Him. Wow. That is good news. Amen.